The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. All right. And welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 20th, 2022. I have another rerun for you this week, this time featuring shows from the year 2020. We cover a wide range and wide variety of topics this week, so we should probably get down to business here. And in the beginning, the Thunderbolt said, "Let there be light." So I was pissed off about having to constantly try to find things in my truck in the dark, when the thought crossed my mind that for most of human evolution, our ancestors lived half their lives in the dark. They didn't have flashlights or big lighters, much less street lamps. And when it got dark at night, then until they learned to tame fire, they lived in that darkness right along several other species of large, badass animals that weren't at all averse to eating humans. Go outside in the woods some night. Imagine hanging out in that darkness every night for your whole life. After humans tamed fire, we could create usable light. But only if we had fire, and only in places where we could take fire. Once we left our village, or our cave, or whatever,
think that we won't do, think of the hurdles we're going through. Crazy.
Then unless we had torches, we were moving in darkness.
Think of the things that we won't do, think of the hurdles we're going through. Crazy.
And even torches only light a small circle of space. There was still a lot of darkness outside of our little circle of light. So say what you like about the negative impacts of our civilization. And I regularly take that advice myself. While we've destroyed the planet and caused untold death, misery, and suffering with our greed and short-sightedness and with our ignorance, in spite of all, I think that electric lights are a really cool thing. One of about 17 or 38 reasons why I'm against trying to pass gun control laws is because I have traveled extensively in Bubba Land. I have hitchhiked extensively in Bubba Land. I've been in Bubba's car, and I've had dinner with Bubba's family in Bubba's home. I even once partied in Bubba's bar, as far as it is possible to party in a bar when you don't drink. And I can guarantee you there are many millions and probably tens of millions of Bubbas whose number one fear is liberals coming to take their guns. There is no other issue that is more guaranteed to get Bubba off of his couch and cleaning his guns in anticipation of taking to the streets. And I personally hate it when Bubba gets all motivated and active, especially when he starts cleaning his guns. There's a popular saying amongst Bubba's crowd that is often expressed on bumper stickers that says, I will give up my gun when they pry my cold, dead fingers from around it. My own father had that bumper sticker on our family car when I was a kid, in fact. And my father was a New Deal Democrat. So it's not just Bubba's. Now, while in many cases the cold, dead fingers thing is likely to be a lot of bluster, but I can absolutely guarantee you that in a lot of other cases, it is absolutely not bluster in any manner. In fact, if you really want to instigate an armed right-wing rebellion in this country, I cannot think of a better way to do it than by trying to pass restrictive gun control laws. Now, I mention all of this because the Democrats recently retook the state government in Virginia. And the very first thing they did was to try to pass gun control laws. And they stirred up the very hornet's nest that I just described. Bubba rose up, and the governor of Virginia declared a state of emergency. And now Bubba in Virginia is pissed, motivated, organizing, sending money to the NRA, sending money to Republicans, and he is cleaning his guns. So I will mention this again. Good people do not need laws. Bad people ignore laws. And rich people buy laws. So I have always found laws to be of highly limited utility. If you really want to discourage a certain behavior, you don't simply make it illegal. You make it unacceptable, which is a different thing. So I'm going to repeat an anecdote from my own personal experience. A drunk driver killed my mother when I was 11 years old. And it never even occurred to me at the time to blame the guy's car, much less become an anti-car activist. I blamed the guy for driving his car while he was drunk. And I would also note that it was illegal for him to drive his car while he was drunk, meaning that their law certainly did not save my mother. So I just listened to an interview with a journalist who claims that studies have proven that people are really lousy lie detectors. Actually, I already knew this, from endless anecdotal evidence I have been seeing for my entire life. And I also know this because I happen to be an exception to that rule, in that with notable exceptions, I can often tell when people are lying to me, and I have often noted most other people's seeming inabilities in this area. Evidently, there is survival value in trusting people, since so many people tend to do so. But the fact also remains that people's inability to detect lies also plays right into the hands of the fascists. However innocently, I'm not lying. Believe me. Fortunately, there has been so much overwhelming evidence that has surfaced lately that by this point, nearly everyone understands that the government constantly lies to us nearly all the time. Indeed, this was one of the many reasons why the rump won the election. Like Barack Obama, the rump was able to fool a whole bunch of people into thinking that he was battling against the machine rather than being himself one of the most corrupted parts of the machine. He lied, in other words. The Republicans have always been on board with the imperialism machine. And then Barack Obama succeeded at pretty much single-handedly killing the anti-war movement on the left. And so now, rather than fighting the war machine, everyone is instead fighting each other on behalf of the war machine. And the talking mouths on the media machine play their role by pretending to be impartial commentators, even when the facts are all on one side. And thus, we are currently having a years-long debate about global climate change and fossil fuels' responsibility for that change, just as we had a decades-long debate about whether cigarettes cause cancer, even though the facts were hidden right in front of everyone's eyes for the entire time. And it's the same with this impeachment circus. The rump has indeed committed a large number and a wide variety of impeachable offenses.
Here's with a leprechaun, full of trickery, but it went a bit too far.
And it ain't in the honor of me.
Here's with a leprechaun, a twinkle in his eye, always smiling sweetly.
And in spite of that indisputable fact, the Republicans simply deny that the rump has committed any offenses. And so the media machine, in their pretended dedication to impartiality, simply repeats its lies as if they were credible arguments. To a large portion of the American populace, the truth has become whatever the rump says it is. And the man is a pathological liar. The inspiration for the character of Mr. X in Oliver Stone's film JFK was a gentleman named Fletcher Prouty. And according to Mr. Prouty, quote, If you don't know about government drug trafficking, then you are too ignorant to operate effectively in Washington, D.C. Whereas if you try to stop government drug trafficking, then you are too naive to work effectively in Washington, D.C. All high government officials of both political parties know about government drug trafficking. And no government officials of either political party are doing anything about it. In addition, it is now known that Nancy Pelosi knew all about the Iraqi torture chambers from very early on, and that she not only did absolutely nothing to stop it, but she helped them to keep their nasty little secret. Not only do they remain silent, but with but a few scattered exceptions in the House and one in the Senate, all of them are otherwise active participants. They take payoffs to remain silent, and thus they are actually in on it. They remain silent about the drugs. They remain silent about the torture and the other war crimes. They remain silent about the crimes against humanity. And they remain silent about the surveillance police state. Even Bernie, even if he is not an active participant, he at least knows about it. He remains silent. Yes, kids. The Wall Street war drug machine is all pervasive. And of course, most of the acknowledged criminals and the well-known criminal organizations are directly involved as well. I have previously reported upon the fact that cooperation between organized crime and the American intelligence services started during World War II when the infamous gangster Lucky Luciano provided intelligence for the United States Army during their invasion of Sicily. Well, I have recently learned that it actually went much deeper than that. Lucky Luciano was in prison at the outbreak of World War II, and he had been put there by crusading New York District Attorney Thomas Dewey, who later ran against Harry Truman for president in 1948. So it turns out that this very same Thomas Dewey also later offered Mr. Luciano a deal. Lucky Luciano would be pardoned for his crimes if he agreed to do three things. He was to travel to Italy and use his mafia connections to set up resistance and intelligence operations. He was to use his connections within the American labor movement to root out German and Italian spies, though after the war, they turned their attention to socialists. And third, Mr. Luciano was to process the heroin coming from Southeast Asia so that the OSS and later the CIA could finance the Kuomintang, which was a Chinese military unit that operated against the Japanese during the war and then against Mao Zedong after the war. Now, this cooperation between the United States government and one of the most notorious gangsters and criminals of his time was called, rather unimaginatively, Operation Underworld. In Operation Underworld, we have the roots of the very close relationship between the Central Intelligence Agency and the Mafia. In Operation Underworld, we have the roots of the corruption of the leaders of the American labor movement. And in Operation Underworld, we have the roots of our modern drug cartels. The same people who run Operation Underworld are the same people who are running our world, and they are destroying our world for their own short-term profit. And if we don't stop them, we're doomed. And whether or not Donald Trump is impeached is almost completely irrelevant in this context. And this is the context that we need to operate in, because we need to deal not with the rump, but with the underlying sickness that gave us the rump. Now, many people are confident that human ingenuity and technology will save us. But I feel that their confidence generally does not take into account our addiction to low-cost and plentiful energy. At this point, under the current paradigm, cheap and abundant energy is what makes everything else we do even possible. And even though peak oil was temporarily postponed due to new discoveries and to fracking technology, it currently costs $60 merely to produce a barrel of fracked oil.
Feeling sweet, feeling drops from my fingers.
It's $60 a barrel.
Manic depression is catching my soul.
Is the current market price for oil. The only way that continues to work is for oil to become much more expensive.
Woman's a weary, sweetheart in vain.
The oil boom is soon to end.
You make love, you break love.
Our days of endless exponential growth are over.
Music, sweet music, I wish I could grasp.
The only way to fix this,
depression is a frustrating mess.
If it is even possible to fix it at this point, is to completely restructure our entire economy from the ground up. but that is not going to be calmly and rationally worked out in some boardroom or in some political process. It is going to happen during crisis and by necessity, probably in the midst of chaos. And I would maintain that whoever has the infrastructure and the ideas and the organization ready to rock and roll when that crisis strikes are much more likely to be the ones steering our ship to wherever we go from there. And right now, the bad guys are the ones who have all of that. Well, we do not have that.
Really no use in me hanging around.
We're all too busy with our circular firing squad.
Is a frustrating mess.
It is time for us to organize in solidarity. That is probably the most important thing anyone can do right now. And we're going to take a quick station break now, so we will be back in a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. You know...
What's that? Haven't you ever heard beer being brewed before?
Yet another one of the numerous endless, outrageously insane things that suck so much about Donald Trump is the fact that all everyone ever talks about anymore...
That was kind of light and happy, sir.
Listen to this.
...is how much he sucks. And it is to the point now wherein I am totally sick of hearing people talking about how much Donald Trump sucks. Yes, Donald Trump sucks. Most people either already get that, or they're probably incapable of getting it.
Choices hops, rice, and best barley malt being blended to make beer.
And even as the left keeps criticizing him, they also keep underestimating him.
Trump staggers in the house. His wife.
So am I.
For instance, having everyone constantly harping about how much the rump sucks is distracting everyone from the seriously effed up shite that is going on that no one is talking about.
The cold golden beer being poured right down the middle of the glass.
Because all they're talking about is how much the rump sucks.
That's the only sad note in the whole number. Means all the beer's gone. Better get another case right away.
I am convinced that that is, in fact, the rump's actual job. He is the distractor in chief. Watch this hand. Don't watch that hand. And people keep pondering the, quote, reason that the rump won the election, when actually there was any one of over a dozen things that I can think of that, had any single one of those dozen things not been so, then the election would almost certainly have gone the other way. even the claims that Mrs. Clinton lost because she is a woman are likely true. And I would maintain that there was no single reason why the woman won, but that there were dozens of reasons that all added up in the end. Consider.
Hey, you know what this fella told me? He told me once you make it with a robot chick, that's it. You don't never want nothing else. I swear to God, that's what he told me.
The rump spoke directly against NAFTA. The Democrats not only were the ones who passed NAFTA, but they seemed truly clueless when it came to how much NAFTA sucked for working people and how hated NAFTA was amongst the ranks of the working people. And another thing is the fact that the duly accomplished liar always tells the truth whenever possible. And the rump keeps attacking all of the right targets with all of the right facts, even if for all the wrong reasons. The media machine is indeed a lapdog of the elites, the FBI and the CIA are indeed utterly corrupt tools of the deep state. The deep state is indeed the central clearinghouse for global nastiness. But the thing about the rump trashing all of these institutions, though, is that he is not doing it because he wants them to start doing their frigging jobs. He is doing it because he considers them to be competition. And thus, he wants to seriously marginalize them, if not outright destroy them. And I'm quite sure that the rump would be just fine with the media machine and with the FBI and with the CIA and with the deep state if they were all working for his interests. And yet another factor that the rump cashed in on during the last election and that the Democrats totally missed and still seem to be missing is that the rump directly addressed the huge anti-war sentiment of the general public. Yes, he specifically criticized the endless interventionist wars, however insincerely, and he spoke directly to a huge segment of the public on that issue alone. And depending upon where you're talking about intervening, I suspect that the rump's distaste for interventionist wars is not altogether insincere. And yet another thing about the rump is that this whole impeachment theater charade is likely to pull the pants off a bunch of thoroughly corrupt Republicans. And not a few Democrats. And that is why the Republicans are so forcefully circling their wagons. The impeachment thing also seems to represent a rift within the deep state, i.e. the bankster machine versus the real estate machine. And the anti-rump bankster factions may win out in the end, as they usually do. But again, the rump is calling all of that out for just what it indeed is, and all of his acolytes can indeed see that. even the rump's cries over the lack of due process have a ring of truth to them. In other ways, though, the rump is playing right into their hands. Partly thanks to him, the deep state has now managed to convince nearly everyone, except rump fanatics, that anyone who talks about the deep state is a crazy conspiracy theorist. And now they've managed to associate all of those crazy conspiracy theorists with the rump and with the nutcase right wing. Therefore, anyone who talks about the actual conspiracies that are actually going on can now be even more easily discredited. And one more thing in that vein, I hereby predict that Rudy Giuliani is going to be indicted, and that he is then going to turn snitch on the rump. And that's when things are going to get fun. Here we go again. Thanks partly to the profound effects that cultural conditioning produces upon the human psyche, there are lots of ways for influential people to manipulate public opinion. In the Ottoman Empire during the 16th century, for instance, Suleiman the Great evidently was not a big fan of veils on women. However, Suleiman had enough political acumen to understand that simply forbidding veils would likely ignite both political and religious shite storms. And so he made a move that may be indicative of why everyone always calls him Suleiman the Great. Suleiman ruled that all prostitutes must start wearing veils. And one of the effects of this ruling was that veils suddenly became far less popular amongst the elite ladies of the Ottoman Empire. And meanwhile, a couple of centuries later, over in Germany, Frederick the Great's wish was that, in addition to their traditional wheat crop, that Germans would also start growing potatoes, as his people would then have two staples rather than just one, thus making them far less susceptible to famine. And therefore, evidently lacking the political acumen of Suleiman, Frederick simply ordered his farmers to start growing potatoes. Now, that would have gone over like a lead balloon if they had had balloons in the 18th century, lead or otherwise. But predictably, when simply ordered to start growing potatoes, the peasants found this to be an unacceptable government intrusion into their personal lives. And so they bitterly and even militantly resisted. Evidently, there are records from that time of people actually being executed for defending their right to not grow potatoes. The potato martyrs. As Howard Zinn noted, history does not really repeat itself, but it often does rhyme. Anyway, Frederick the Great then hit upon an idea that may be indicative of why everyone still calls him the Great, in spite of that political faux pas. Frederick thereafter forbade anyone from growing or eating potatoes except the royal family. And in addition, he very publicly and with great fanfare christened a new royal potato patch. And he expressly forbade commoners from trespassing in his royal potato patch. He even posted guards to assure that no one would steal the royal potatoes. So as Frederick evidently figured, the peasants evidently figured that anything worth guarding must be worth stealing. And so very soon thereafter, the royal potato patch was raided. Very likely as the guards were very consciously looking the other way. And soon after that, there developed a huge demand for black market potatoes. And soon after that, clandestine, non-royal potato patches began springing up all over Germany. And to this day, Germans believe potatoes on Frederick's grave. However, it should be noted that these same tricks of manipulation can also be used to achieve far more sinister ends, the growing potatoes. Many other historical figures have taken note of Frederick's example. The CIA, for instance, is currently using this exact same model to promote their drug trafficking activities. So it would seem that humanity does not only need to be wary of the temptation of forbidden fruits. Evidently, we also need to keep a close eye upon the temptation of forbidden tubers. And with that, It is time to get to work.
But first, we'll play a couple of tunes. I'm going to start off with a band that is called Two Cellos. And you're not going to believe it after you hear them, but all this music is made by two cellos. Enjoy.
Thank you.
All right. That was Mozart's Last Night from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And before that, we had A Whole Lot of Love versus Beethoven's Fifth Symphony from Two Cellos, which is a new music group I recently discovered, and I like them a lot. I think I'm going to check them out more. So that's it for this week. Hope to see you next week. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.